Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and I have a continuation of last week's podcast about taking authority or dominion with Minister Billy Williams for you today. I hope you enjoy what you learn. I want y'all to realize, and especially because of the time that we live in, I want you to realize that authority also has to do with if you are in lack. Because the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, right? Even as your soul prospers.
Third one.
If you're a Christian and you're in the Word, your soul is prospering, okay? I have seen many times when I was in need, and since I got saved, times when I was out of work, when I was about to be in real desperate lack. And I learned in some of those times that if you will take authority over that situation and you'll say, hey, wait a minute, Satan, you don't have a right to put lack in my life any more than you have a right to put sickness in my life. We have to forbid those things that God doesn't want in our life. If he says we shouldn't be sick, then we have to forbid the sickness. We have to say, I'm not going to believe the lie. The doctor may say that. It may be a fact, but it's still not truth. The truth, which is God's word, overrides lack. It just erases it. If you will stand on it, and if you will fight, you have to say, enough, I'm not going to take this. And you have to draw the line, and you have to shout, and you have to stand in the truth and take authority over it. It's the same thing with financial lack. I want y'all to realize with this, this applies to many areas of your life. You have to know who you are, just like Minister Billy is saying. You have to know who you are in Jesus. And know what you are entitled to according to the word of God. And once you understand, he talks a lot about covenant. A covenant is like a contract. When you sign a contract and the other party don't fulfill their side of the contract, you go after them, don't you? Okay, well, in a covenant, it's a lot like a contract. Only, of course, we don't have to ever worry about God not keeping his part because he always does more than his part. So if a covenant fails, it's because we're not doing our part.
That's exactly right.
Go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there. It has to do with a lot of different situations, and I want them to realize this affects like every area of your life, basically.
It absolutely does, Miss Glenda, and that's let's build on that a little bit. She is so right on. These principles work in every area of your life. You have to know who you are. And you have to know your limitations. You have to know the restrictions. You know, because in authority, it all has boundaries. Like me, for instance, my body is my body, but it's not my body. It's a temple that God lives and dwells in. And if we're going to take this body and misuse it, and I'm going to give you an example because the Lord taught me this. He delivered me from smoking 25 years ago. And he made me understand that, and I just took this picture this past week when I was in on vacation, and I took a picture of a label on the side of a pack of cigarettes. And on that label, it says, warning. Smoking causes cancer, emphysema. It causes several different health issues. When I started smoking, they didn't have those warnings, right? I was smoking, and it was what it was. At some point, they put a label on there that stated smoking may cause emphysema, may cause cancer, may cause birth defects, and whatnot. And every time I would put a cigarette to my mouth, I knew what the label had already warned me about. So what I was doing was compromising my authority. I was compromising my health for that cigarette because I'm the one that that chose to pick it up. I'm the one that chose to light it. I'm the one that chose to buy them. No one could do it for me. No one could force those down my lungs. I had to do it willingly. So in light of the warning, I was still smoking the cigarettes. Therefore, I was compromising my authority. I gave my authority up. Now, if you read these cigarettes, they make a declaration that they don't may cause cancer. They make statements. Smoking causes cancer. Smoking causes emphysema. So here's what I'm talking about. Let's say you spend 40 years smoking those cigarettes. You don't understand what you're doing with your own health. I'm not judging you because I was a smoker. But what you're doing is you're compromising your authority to tell sickness to get out of your body. Mm-hmm. Because if you invite it in willingly, you are not walking in authority. You're walking in submission to the sickness because you already know what's on there. Let's say you are dealing with, and we all have our issues. I've had my alcohol issues. But let's say you are being warned by your doctor that you have a liver condition, and part of your daily regimen is a calming agent at the end of the day because you're drinking liquor, because you've had a stressful day at work, and you get a drink, a glass of wine or something for the sake of calming down. Well, if you have health issues relating to the liver, you've been warned in this society that liver disease is highly linked to alcohol consumption. Yeah. It is a medical, I'm not a doctor. My disclaimer is I have no medical field training for as far as that, but you listen to the same news reports that I do. Yep. So I'm just quoting what they say, but the liver is not designed to process alcohol. It causes the liver to actually die, and it leaves a certain amount of death behind with every drink you drink. So if you're dealing with liver disease and you want to be healed in it, you can pray all day long and God will heal you all day long. But if you pick up what's destroying you, what's contributing to that, if you willingly pick it up, you're forfeiting the healing, not because God is withholding it. It's because you are giving your authority over to pray the health prayer. You're giving it over to the drink to calm your nerves or to just bring down your tension from the day. Let's say you cannot pay your bills. Let's say that your light bill's always overdue, your water bill's always late, or you're always in arrears on your car note or your house note. But then at the end of the day, you have found money to buy a lottery ticket. I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. I've done these things. But if you're throwing your money in a wishing well, wishing for more money, you just throw your seed money away. You could take that money and put it into a Kingdom of God ministry somewhere where they're preaching the gospel, like Miss Glenda. She's doing everything she can to promote the Kingdom of God and the power of God and the authority of God and the goodness of God and the willingness of God to bless your life. But a wishing well is just it's an emotional thing. You know, it's just something people like to do. I've done it. I'm guilty.
Me too.
But next time I throw my money at a wishing well, I'm throwing it at a prayer altar that is taking a collection for the sake of sowing the word of faith into a life.
Oh, amen.
But if you participate in the things that are harming you, you have violated your authority. The devil will look at you and laugh. He will smirk every time you pray the prayer of healing, every time you light a cigarette. I'm dealing with a weight issue right now. I thank God that I'm overcoming obesity. I've dropped 30 pounds in the last several months. And I've got another 40 to go.
I'm dealing with one too. And I just want to say, I noticed a pattern in my life that anything I started around Easter time, around the time of Jesus' crucifixion, always seemed to succeed and that God would start certain things or help me quit certain things at that time. So I decided that's when I'm starting this. And I just want to recommend that for anybody else because it's a new beginning. So why not?
a new beginning. And that's right. I like that word, new beginning. You see, because there are so many times that I laid my cigarettes down. There was so many times that I would pick up my liquor and my booze, or I'd smoke my joint or whatever I was doing at the time. There was so many times that I would apologize and tell God, I'm sorry. And if you just get me out of it, I won't do this, and turn around and do it again. Always remember, God is looking at the heart.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how many times you fail. The only thing that counts is how many times are you willing to fail till you succeed. Yeah. See, God is not going to quit on you, but he's not going to take dominion over you, because he's given you dominion in your life, and he's given you the authority through his Holy Spirit to be more than an overcomer. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you will quit looking at it as I'm just a failure, if you'll quit looking at it as I cannot do this, those are the lies of the enemy, because the word says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The Bible says you're not just a sinner, that when you called on the name of the Lord, that you would be saved. There are, in my opinion, there are two salvations. There is the salvation of your soul and the salvation of your life. You see, because the thief on the cross died, one went to heaven, one went to hell, I believe, just based on what we're taught. But the man on the cross only had time to recognize and believe on Jesus and ask him to, when you come in your kingdom, will you remember me? Jesus' authority and his power to take dominion over sin was well before the cross, you see. He went to the cross to pay the price for us so we could apply that same principle of sin-free. The blood cleanses us of our sin, but the sin still has consequences if you live in it. And God has given you the power and the authority to walk in dominion over a certain realm of your life. Your family, if you're a parent, your dominion and your realm of authority includes your children that are not of age of understanding. Anybody in your house that lives under your roof falls under your realm of authority. So you set the rules and the guidelines, and they have to, out of honor and respect, they have to honor your realm of authority. When you walk into their home, you have to submit to their authority and their rules, so to speak. I'm going to give you a testimony real fast. It's kind of a long-winded one, but I'm going to try to cut it down where it'll make sense. Several years ago, we had gone to, we have a special needs daughter, severely handicapped, and she's nonverbal, so we had to figure things out. On a Monday, my wife says to me, Shelby's not feeling good. I said, okay, we need to watch her. Tuesday, it got a little worse. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. At Friday, she was totally lethargic. She was totally she was broken. She was going out of it, so to speak. So we made a decision. Let's take her to the hospital in Galveston, because we don't want to fight that crowd on Friday nights, because Galveston ERs got busy on Friday nights. So when we got there, they got us in the room. They come in and they asked all the questions. They forcibly pulled some blood from her. They come back a little while later and they're pulling some more blood. And we're in there for several hours. So they come back a third time. And while we're sitting in the room, the door was cracked open. And I heard a conversation outside the door. And I told my wife, I said, we need to pray for that family. And she said, why, what's wrong? I said, they're not going to have a good day. I said, because what I just heard. Well, the door opened and the doctor sat down, and it was nobody else's family they were talking about but mine.
Oh, wow.
And the doctor said to me, they come in with a gurney. They were rushing Shelby off. They were loading her on a gurney, and they said, Mr. and Ms. Williams, they said, we are doing an emergency admittance. We have got to get her on some IVs. We've got to get her blood sugar down. And there were her words were she minimally should be in a coma, probably more like dead. Her sugars were so extreme.
Oh, wow.
And it caught me off guard. But she's the authority in the hospital, right? She's the PhD. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, it took my breath for just a second. I caught my place, and I stopped and looked her in the square in the face. I said, "Doctor," I said, "this is your place." I said, "You do what you need to do." I said, "But I am the authority in that child's life. I am the final voice in that house, in this house that speaks over my children." I said, "You just killed my child." She said, "No, Mr. Williams, we didn't kill your child." I said, "Yes, ma'am, you did." I said, "What you said proves itself to be true. My child will not live to be 25 years old." I said, "Because you just pronounced a disease on her that is not curable or reversible." And I said, "I'm telling you, by the power of God Almighty and my position as her father and my household, she does not have juvenile diabetes. I rebuke it on the authority of the name of Jesus, and I command it to return to the demon that delivered it." And I said, "But you do what you need to do, but my child will not die of juvenile diabetes." And she looked at me like a calf at a new gate. We walked out, run down some halls, wound up in a room, looked like an investigator's room on Dragnet, one big light in the middle. We sat there 6 to 7 hours. They come back in and pulled blood again. They never said two words to us for hours. And after about 8 solid hours in this room, a man walks in, says, "Mr. and Ms. Williams," he said, "sorry, there's been no communication," but he said, "we're just kind of beside ourselves." He said, "I don't know what to say, except the little girl on that table is not the little girl that came in the ER. He said, "Her sugar levels were absolutely out of control, unbelievably." And he said, "But they, within minutes, were absolutely normal, and we cannot explain it."
Praise God. We can. Yes. We know what happened. Woo, Jesus, that's good right there.
But you see, when it's your child that's laying authority on that bed, when it's your family, when it's your household that's hurting, you have the authority to tell hell to get out of it. You see,
that's right.
I've never had a day of medical training in my life short of first aid. But I looked a PhD square in the face, and I told her that her report was factual, but it had no authority or place in my home. This is your family we're talking about. This is your children. This is your finances, because it's the same across the board. You don't have to take what hell throws at you simply because he throws it. You ball it up and throw it back.
Amen.
Throw it back. And let me give you an example. And you got to do it on a scriptural basis. You go in and read the Old Covenant. I believe it's in First Samuel. King David was a boy, a teenager, had no position in the family except he was the younger sibling. When he got word that Satan had defied the God of Israel, challenged the kingdom of God, so to speak, Goliath is the name of the giant. It says when all of the Israel's army was cowered down behind rocks, this one little boy with a slingshot in his pocket heard the threats against the men and women of God. He went to the brook. He reached into the running brook and picked up 5 smooth stones, the Bible says. And I'm going to show you my revelation on that. They weren't just rocks, because Jesus is the rock of our salvation, the Bible says. He is the cornerstone. Yeah. But David picked up 5 rocks. If you study out the history, Goliath, he didn't pick up 1 rock to throw and 4 in case he missed. He picked up 1 for Goliath and 4 brothers, because Goliath had brothers. Now, the Lord showed me this. The rock was, it says, 5 smooth stones. That was caused by the water running over the stones for decades, for since the creation of God's earth, that water was running over them rocks. That means it was tested by time, and it was endurance. Well, those 5 rocks, reach into the scripture and get you 5 revelations, 5 scriptures that address your situation. If it's medical, you go find five examples of where God healed somebody in the old and the new covenant, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then, he's doing now. What he did when Christ walked the earth, he's still doing it now. He is a healer. He's a provider. I could tell you stories, and in the days ahead, we will, of supernatural jobs that God put four and five people in place at different times to get me the job that I needed, because we were so, in the beginning, we were broke. We didn't have enough money hardly to pay attention, much less pay bills. But through the course of tithe and offering, if you don't have money to pay your bills, why don't you pay your tithe to a church that wins souls for Jesus and see what God won't do? Malachi says that if you're going to test God, test him with your money. He says tithe and see if he won't pour out a blessing so big that you can't receive it. Why don't you?
Money's actually the easiest thing for God to get to you.
It is. It is.
It's hard for us to get it, so we don't see that, but it's actually the easiest thing for him to get to you.
And it's also one. There are two things that every person needs in this world. Most of us need healing at some point, and we all need money. Jesus said money is not the root of all evil. Jesus said that the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. But money is neutral. It actually, the Bible says, will answer all things. That means it will pay your bills. It will cover the cost of your car. It will provide your family with a good home. It will make sure that you have good food on the table, fresh water to drink, electricity, cooling, and heating. See, money
gives you a means to bless someone else.
Absolutely. It will give you, and that's the thing. That comes into the seed, the tithe and the offering. The tithe goes to your local church where you serve the Lord at, where you're fed at. The offering is above. See, the tithe is obedience. The offering is relationship.
The tithe actually belongs to God. The 90% of your money, actually, the tithe means one-tenth.
That's right.
90% of the money you receive is actually yours. The other 10% is given to you by God to see if you will obey him.
And the other side of that is will you obey him or will you trust him? You see, because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. But see, the tithe is obedience. The offering is relationship. Because when you tithe out of obedience, God will bless you, because you'll never outgive God. But then once you realize that God does not take anything from you that he doesn't restore, he doesn't take anything from you to hurt you. It's to grow you. It's to help heal you.
Amen. It is to grow you. Well said.
So learn to trust God. But see, here's the thing. You will never trust God any further than you know God.
Amen.
You're going to know God by entering into the Word. And I want to talk to the readers out there. Some of you have read the Bible from front to back. Some of you have never read anything more than the daily bread scripture that comes across your phone. And some of you have never read anything more than what the preacher tells you. I want to encourage you to make a covenant with God today. To just let the Lord know you're going to go into his Word and listen to him for yourself. You want to hear from him. And then I want to direct you to the book of John. If you will read the book of John, which is in the circle of religion and faith, it's called the book of love. If God can't convince you through the reading of the book of John that he loves you, I don't know what will convince you. But I will say this, if you'll read the book of John, you'll fall in love with the God that fell in love with you, and you'll want to read the rest of it. Some of it's long-winded. Some of it's drawn out. So get you a program. Get into the realm where you do these Bible apps that will say read four or five scriptures a day, and at the end of the year, you'll look back, and you'll have read the entire Bible. Yeah. But you will become addicted to it if you let God have a place.
One good way to read the Bible every year is to get you one of those read through the Bible in a year devotionals where you read so many pages a day. And it's already laid out for you, so you just read. That's how I got into it.
Yes.
Back when I was traveling all the time in my oil and gas career, I had one of those. And I got it on Amazon. In fact, I think it's in the Just Praise Him bookstore, the bookstore pages. And if you read that every day, then when you get to the end of the year, you've read the entire Bible. through one time. And if you do that every year, you will learn the stories in the Bible.
That's exactly right.
And it will help you. It really, and God will bless that time you spend with him. He will start showing up in your time with him. You will see his presence will start showing up because he honors that.
Amen. He does. He sure does. Well, that's how he can speak to you as well. Because when God speaks to you, it's going to be always in line with the written word of God. God will never get goofy on you. He will never contradict the written word. It is our cornerstone and our baseline where we build off of scripture. I'm a King James person, you know.
Me too. And Jesus is the word of God. So that's why when you're in the word of God, he's there because that is him.
Amen. And you know, and something else, Miss Belinda, when you go into the word for the new beginners, I encourage you to start in the New Testament because the Lord spoke to me one day and because I do a lot of street outreach and I give Bibles away, and I used to give away big Bibles, and I noticed that the homeless people would not always have them with them. And the Lord spoke to me. The reason they don't have them is because they travel light.
They have to carry everything.
That's right. They carry everything with them, or they leave it behind if it's not necessary. So
they need rolling suitcases. What they need. They do,
and they travel lighter than that. If it don't fit in hip pockets, they're not going to carry it a lot of times. They just get it where they're going, like blankets and shirts and things like that. But the Lord spoke to me. He said they travel light. You can be saved with the New Testament. You can't be saved with the old. You don't need the Old Testament to get them saved because Jesus is not named in the Old Testament. His name is given to us in the New Testament. So the covenant of salvation is your priority. But whenever we're given this word out there, it's to help enlighten you to understand who you are. Because if you'll learn that you are a child of God, you'll act different. If you learn, because we didn't, as children, we didn't want to disappoint our families. We didn't want to disappoint our parents. You know, we felt like failures if we did. But God wants us to understand through relationship that all we have to do is be us. He's given us the power and the authority to stand against the wiles of the devil. We just don't want to become our own worst enemy. Because we bring it into the house. And I'll give you an example. As a couple of several years ago, I was raised as a child where zombies and devil movies were okay. And I actually always had a fond draw to the zombies, the Walking Dead, so to speak. And I actually developed a cancer in my mouth because I watched a movie. The Lord spoke to me and said, you don't want to watch that. He told me twice, you don't want to watch that.
Oh, wow.
And I flipped right through it. The third time I come to it, he didn't say anything. He was silent. So I watched it. I developed a cancer in my mouth. And the Lord, several weeks later, after multiple trips to the dentist and all this hole in my jaw and the bone hanging out, I was at work with a co-worker, and I turned to her and I said, Lord, I said, something's going on and I don't know what's going on. I said, how is this in my mouth? And the Lord said to me, Walking Dead. I turned to my co-worker and I said, the Lord just revealed how this cancer is in my mouth. I said, I watched that Walking Dead after I was warned not to watch it. And I immediately repented. And Miss Glenda, you can take it for what it's worth. A horror show, I've seen them before, where things would crawl under the skin and move underneath the bodies. That's actually something that can be real because it happened in my mouth. This thing began to crawl through my jaw and worked its way to that hole in my jaw, and it fell out in the form of it looked like a little white aspirin to me. And I told my coworker, I said, hey, you want to see what an exercise demon looks like? But what would not heal for about 5 to 6 weeks and 6 or 7 trips to the dentist, overnight that hole closed up and it went back to normal because I had repented and turned. But I was bringing that death into my own life. Nobody had the authority to cast a demon out that I was inviting in through the movie I was watching. Your music can be detrimental to your soul. It can be death to your family. Be careful what you plug into the airwaves, because if you invite it in entertainment, you have submitted mm-hmm. your authority to the devil, because he laughs in your face, because the Bible says sin is fun for a season. That means you can enjoy it, but it's got consequences to come.
So, yep, it sure does.
So when you put your radio stations on, I'm not judging you. Please understand that. I've done all of the things I'm talking about. I've got the knots on the head to prove it. I am an experiential Christian. I'm in regards. So when you are living life and you're constantly being defeated in areas, go to the scriptures and ask God, God, what's your opinion on this? Am I spending my money in the casinos I'm spending my light money, bill money in the casinos to try to pay the light bill? Am I drinking my own poison? Am I smoking my own poison? Am I killing myself? And the Lord give me a word on this one day. You know, the devil said, the word says that no weapon be formed against us will prosper. Well, if you form the weapon against yourself.
Yeah, that's different. That don't fall under that.
Don't be the weapon in the devil's hand and then load the gun as well. Don't let him use your own choices to destroy you.
God, even the Lord will not override your own choices.
He can't do it, because he give us dominion and we are authorized to bind up the forces of darkness. You're a vessel of power.
Which also means if we're authorized to bind them up, we are authorized to let them in.
That's exactly right. That is so true. You're the one. See, even Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door to me, I will come in. So doesn't that suggest to you as a listener, if the Lord requires you open the door to him, doesn't that suggest open the door to the devil?
Yes.
Quit letting the devil have access to your life. Quit letting people tell you that it's never going to change. Quit letting them tell you that there's no value in your life, because you are worth everything. If not a man or a woman on this program were to ever have committed a sin but the one I'm talking to, do you realize that God would have still done the same thing for you?
Just for you, if you were the only
one. Just for you. He would have sent Jesus, and Jesus would not have shed one drop of blood for you. He would have done what he did for the world. He will have poured out every ounce of blood in his body for the sake of your soul and your life.
Just for you.
So let God come into your life. Start walking in your authority as a child of God. And then look around you. And study authority. Look how it works. See how it works. Because we had a situation yesterday. It made the news, so it was public news. I'm not putting names with it. I didn't get that. But there was a woman in our area, went into a store. Texas has lifted the mandate for masks, but they still leave it up to the individual businesses to put in place what they want or require. An individual went into a business unmasked. They asked her to leave. She refused to leave. Well, the authority of the house said, to come in here, you must wear a mask. To do business here, you have to wear a mask. She violated their authority, tried to usurp their authority with her own authority over her life to choose not to wear the mask. And in essence, what they done was they called on a higher authority called the police. The police department walked into their private business. They exercised the request of the business owner. They said, we don't want her here because we're requiring masks. She doesn't want to comply. We want her to leave. The business owners couldn't make her leave, but when they called on the higher power, the police officer showed up and he walked in the authority of the local police department and the police chief. And by their authorization, he was authorized to remove this lady physically if necessary. And it did work that way. She unfortunately was arrested. But that's how authority works in your family. You set the guidelines and say, you know what, kids, we're not going to play those games in this house, because they're nothing but blood, guts, and murder. We're not play games in this house that destroy the mind. That's your home. Walk in the authority as a parent. walk in the authority of a wife. Your glory is your hair, but you are the covering for your husband. Don't allow certain things on your televisions. Don't compromise your marriage and your relationships with the shows. I'm just going to say the truth of it. One of the biggest downfalls that our country experienced was the 50s, 60s, and 70s soap operas, destroying and polluting the minds of our families. They destroyed the...
Oh, I remember the soap opera days.
You know, everybody was fair game. There was nobody off limits. It was anything goes, and they polluted the minds of our people. And we're seeing the outfall. People are living in Peyton Place every day. People are living in the consequences of buying into that programming that came with that media. I know they're not going to like it when I said that, but it's still the truth of it. We're supposed to be focused on the things of God. We don't want to make entertainment out of sin, because what you focus on, you will actually migrate to, and you will participate in it, the Bible says. So take authority in your house. Tell the devil to get hell out, that there's not going to be any more of that crazy rock and roll music that's full of demonic activity. And don't tell me it's not real, because I was in an Ozzy Osbourne concert that I would have walked to on my knees to get there because of who I was at that time. And that gentleman, it's public, so it ain't nothing I'm saying that's not known. But he was blowing up animals on the stages. And in the night that I was there, it was a stuffed goat because the city of Houston would not allow him to do a live goat. He walked to the stage's edge after he blowed up this stage goat, this stuffed goat, and his next comments turned me around and away from him. But he said, to this point, he said, this has been a platform of entertainment. He said, it is now an altar of worship, and I want to open it up to you to come worship my God, and I worship Satan. And you can call that comedy, you can call that theatrical.
Ain't nothing funny about that. That's
terrible. It was real. He can say what he wants to. He said it. I'm quoting him. I pray for his soul that Jesus will change his life, because
has he been saved yet? Seemed like I saw him or his wife was saved, but
I'm not sure. I don't follow him, but I do know that was a public forum. So I'm not sitting here making things up. Those are on the history books. And I took my little friend that was with me that night, and I took her off my shoulders, and I said, it's time to go. We don't stay here. We don't worship Satan. But we were just worshiping him, right? We were actually going through the process, dancing to the music.
Just in a roundabout way, yeah.
We were worshiping Satan. We were dancing to his music. We were smoking his drugs. We was doing everything that Satan would have us do.
Thank you so much, Billy, for being with us on this show. You have given them so much to think about. And I hope that all of y'all will realize that you do have a lot of authority as a child of God. You have so much authority. Billy, thank you again for being with us. We always like when you teach us. I learned stuff from you, too. So thank you for taking time to talk to the listeners.
Well,
we appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you for allowing me to participate in your program. And real fast, as we close out, if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, first step is to say, Lord Jesus, come in and be my Savior, and then ask him to be Lord of your life, because that's the
way
to any of these victories. It all comes through Christ.
Yeah, it does. If you ask him in and you need to ask any questions, you email one of us. And Billy, you want to give your contact information real
quick?
Yes,
I can do that. It's b.l.williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, 071963@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I got a great response on the previous program with prayer requests, and I've gotten some praise reports back from some of them, and I expect praise reports from all of them.
Okay. Y'all have a great week. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.
Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com.